Corinthians, but being Father's Day, decided to do our Father's Day sermon today. And there's reasons for that, I think. So today is another holiday in our society. A holiday is simply another way to describe a holy day, set apart from other days for a particular purpose, usually as a way of remembrance. As such, today we take time to remember and to celebrate those without whom we would not exist, and that is our fathers. Fatherhood is something which our broader society has at best neglected, and at worst simply rejected over the course of, now it's even been more than the last few years. Like mothers and motherhood, fathers and fatherhood have taken quite a beating from where it used to be. Whereas in the past, fathers were respected. All too often in the media and in the culture, fathers today are given a lack of respect. All too often they are seen as the bumbling fools, the guys who rarely try, and when they do, they just end up getting in the way most of the time. In some contexts, they do not even exist at all. So like mothers, fathers and fatherhood is in need of defending. It's in need not only of defending, but also of understanding. Where can we go for understanding the importance of fatherhood? When we consider fathers and fatherhood, what is the best place to look for understanding the concept? Are we to simply accept what the culture has been telling us about fatherhood and what it is? Or is there another place to look? If fatherhood is merely a social construct, then we would have no way of saying anything more about it. But if it is not merely a social construct, but something which is more, then we should have some evidence of what it looks like outside of society. The question for the Christian then is, do the scriptures provide us information on fatherhood? Does it teach us an understanding of fatherhood, which is not merely a social construct, but something which is ingrained within humanity as we are created by God? If it does, then not only would there be evidence of it within the scriptures, but it would also mean that what the scriptures say about fatherhood would be significant. So do the scriptures say anything? Well, yes, they do. I think a lot of times when we think about our fathers, the first thing that comes to our mind is found in Ephesians 6 when we read, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Now, there are a number of things to consider from this. The first is the necessity for children to obey their parents. The basis for this is from the Ten Commandments, from which Exodus 20:12 we read, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Paul rightly recognizes the promise associated with the commandment. The promise, then, is that they would have a long life as well as a blessed life. Obedience to our parents clearly has importance to God. He wants us to obey our fathers. He wants us to especially honor them in this way. It is honoring to our fathers when we take heed of their wisdom and their knowledge, when we seek them out for understanding, and when we obey them when they call and speak to us. However, that does not mean that fathers are to act in any way that they want. While it is true that we are to obey them, that does not give them free rein to do things as they see fit in their own eyes. Instead, they are told not to provoke their children to anger. Thus, fathers should refrain from doing things which would cause their children to look scornfully upon them. Being a domineering father can have this effect on children. Being a father who does not love can do this as well. The goal for fatherhood is not to cause your children to hate you or to do things which would cause them scorn or anger. Instead, there is a better way, and we read it. Bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. Notice, Paul does not say, do not discipline children. He does not say, give them everything that they want. Instead, he calls on fathers to bring up their children in discipline and instruction in the Lord. The Lord disciplines. He chastises his children. The scriptures teach that God disciplines those he loves. Why? What is the purpose of this discipline? The answer is that we may learn what is right and what is wrong, to see and to know the difference between good and evil, and to learn to live in God's righteousness. Fathers are called to the same, to train our children in Christ's likeness and discipline. But it does not end with discipline. They also are called to bring up their children in the instruction of the Lord. Do you know what this means, fathers? It means that we have a responsibility to teach and to train our children in the ways of God. We have a responsibility to teach our children about the God of the universe, the God who has revealed himself in the scriptures. What does this require of us? It requires us to be knowledgeable about God ourselves. It requires us to be willing to learn more about God so we can further train our children in his ways. It will not do for us to be stagnant in our knowledge of God, because then our children will become stagnant as well. Instead, we are to continue our own pursuit of knowing God. Yet it is not only in the mind or reason which we can train and give understanding, but by walking with God ourselves. We can show our children the way they can relate to the God of the universe. When we respect God, when we are obedient to God, when we honor God, when we love God, we give an example to our children so they can further understand their own relationship with God as well. This, of course, leads to another point found in these verses, which is fathers are called to be instructors. Indeed, this is a common theme found throughout the Bible. Consider a few of these verses from the Proverbs. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching, for they are a graceful garland for your head and a pendant for your neck. Hear, O sons of father's instructions, and be attentive, that you may gain insight, for I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. A primary responsibility for fathers is to grow in knowledge of God, and because of this, they are called to teach what they themselves learn. I find this to be interesting within the context of modern society. Why is that? Well, consider society. Who are the ones who teach? Teachers. They are the knowledgeable ones who have all the information. Parents, especially fathers, are not seen as instructors. They are seen as providers, and that's at best. Yet the scriptures are clear that fatherhood involves teaching, taking our children under our wings and showing them the paths that they should follow. It is not surprising that this is the case. Fathers are important for our development as human beings. They, like our mothers, are the foundations on which our knowledge begins. How they train us, then, will have repercussions for the rest of our lives. We see this in society at large as generational habits form of both good and ill. Fathers have a responsibility to make sure they are training their children in the right and good ways of the Lord, helping form habits within their children which are good. In times past, it was not uncommon for fathers to instruct their children in catechisms, teaching them not only practical ways of living, which was very important and we still should do, but also what we would call spiritual living, or living in the Christian tradition. This kind of teaching leads to learning as well for the fathers. Yet what has happened? Why have we refrained from teaching our children in our homes? Is it the children's fault? No, I think it rests more on the parents rather than the child. When parents cease caring about teaching their children and raising them in the ways they should go, then it means they will be trained in these things elsewhere. In the past, they did care. And they did want their children to be raised in the knowledge of God. But because of this, they had encouraged and taught them the value of knowing God and knowing about God. They had instructed their children in wisdom, in the Bible, in the beautiful texts of church history and in the past. It benefited children and it benefited society. Indeed, many tell me how much things have changed in our society in general. Yet what is lacking? Church attendance is at an all-time low across the United States. Many parents are unaware of the Christian faith and its depths. As such, many children today continue to find their meaning, their purpose, and their value, not in who they are as created image bearers of God, but by whatever the culture and educational system instills in them. Unfortunately, this has led to many not even knowing if they truly have any meaning, value, or purpose at all. And to question reality as it is in front of them, as things like gender and sexual confusion rise at incredible rates among children. Not only this, but even the rise in suicide, for the world cannot provide anyone with an adequate source of meaning, purpose, or value, and this is what it leads to. Fathers, we simply cannot shirk our responsibilities. Far too often we let all of this fall on our wives or on the educational system. While our wives are brilliant, beautiful, and wise, and do their fair share of training, it does not mean that we can slack off. While the educational system can do what is good and right, over the course of the last 30 years, we have seen how they rely far more on whatever is psychologically or sociologically in vogue rather than what is true. The time of simply trusting the system is over. This had led to a major problem in which we allow our children to go without warning into the arms of the world which seeks to devour them. We have failed to protect them by training them against what they will encounter. The stories I have heard from coworkers about what their children are saying and what they are experiencing would frighten you. We must do better. We must stand firm on what we know is true and teach the truth to our children so they can combat the lies and deceptions of this world. So from this, we learn a few important things. The first is our fathers are to be honored. They are our fathers for a reason. God has placed them in our lives for his glory, and we can be sure that God would not make such a mistake. They are to be disciplinarians to train their children, not for the purpose of embarrassment or scorn, but for wisdom in what is right and wrong. But also, we need to remember that fathers are called to seek greater knowledge of God, to understand God, to seek God, and to know more about God as they continue forward, and to emulate the kind of relationship God wants with his children by walking in step with his Spirit in obedience. Finally, fathers are called to be instructors, teaching their children, and in this way protecting them against what is evil and deceptive by teaching them what is good and true. Now, the truth is, these things are not merely applicable to our biological fathers. Consider what we read in 1 John 2:12 through 14. I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Also consider 1 Timothy 5:1 through 2, which we read, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. Here's the reality for all the men here. Those in the younger generation are in need of seeing men of faith who persevere. Men who are faithful to Christ, who give their lives to obedience to him by loving their wives and teaching their children. There are those who are younger, like myself, who always need to be reminded and taught by the older generations. In that sense, you older men are our fathers of the faith. You older men must make your shoulders strong for the next generation of Christians, for the benefit of this congregation, and for the glory of God. Whether these are your biological children or not does not change the fact that you are fathers to those of the younger generation within the church. Not only fathers as fathers, but as grandfathers to each of us. Consider the further hope of this. Let's say you didn't have the greatest dad growing up. Maybe he wasn't around. Maybe he didn't do a great job of teaching. Or the teaching and instruction he gave were harsh and caused you more pain than anything. Well, here in the church, by God's grace, you will find fathers who will take care of you, who will watch over you, who will love you and cherish you, instructing you in the faith. This is their role. It's their call as the older generation of men to lead the younger generation in the truth for our benefit. But it should also give us hope for those who feel as though they could have failed or they did fall. Well, here in the church, there is always redemption. You can learn here from other men how to be better, not only to your biological children, but also to your spiritual children. You can continue to grow. Some might fear that there is no hope for change, but in Christ we know that we can be transformed for God's glory. Likewise, it gives us hope for this family of believers. It reminds us we are not alone on this road of faith. We who are younger have an older generation to see what it looks like further down the road. to encourage us and guide us further on the path. Though at times things look dark for us, though we struggle, we know that the men before us have struggled too, and still God has kept them by his grace. Thus, we should find peace in our elders as they train us not only intellectually, but in the very reality of who God is and what he bestows upon us. Finally, the verses we just looked at from Timothy remind us of something more. Even if you have no biological children, in the church you find children aplenty. Because you, elder men of the church, you are father figures to each of us and to our children. Thus, even those who have no children become fathers in the church. And it is a glorious and beautiful thing to consider that God, in his own way, redeems childlessness in his congregations. Praise God for this. One final thought that comes with Father's Day is found throughout the New Testament. And it is something which we find in the Lord's Prayer as we pray it together every Sunday. Our Father who art in heaven. The concept of God being our Father is strong within the Scriptures, but especially in the New Testament. It stems from Christ, his atonement, our redemption through his blood. It is through Christ we are able to pray to God as our Father in heaven. The concept of God being our Father has direct ramifications for us. It means that we are no longer merely created beings. Instead, it means that God looks at each one of us, who we are in the faith, as his own children. It means that when he looks at you, if you are in Christ, he sees his own child whom he loves. Even often when we think about the case with all people, but the truth is, the Scriptures are very explicitly teaching us that those who are in Christ who experience this love of God, and it is a love which is unlike any other kind of love, for no love can be as complete as the love of the God Father that he has for his Son. And hence, no love can be as full as his love for each of us if we belong to Jesus. Thus, above all in the church, above all other fathers, is our great God who loves us as our Father. For those of us who are fathers here on earth, it is to him that we look if we want to understand what it means to be a father for our children. It is he whom we are called to reflect. We consider his ways, how he is gracious to us, loving toward us, who disciplines us, who encourages us, who teaches us, abides with us, is compassionate toward us, so we are to be toward our children. We have the greatest teacher when it comes to fatherhood, and that is God himself. It also means no matter the circumstances, we can be sure that we are not fatherless if we are in Christ. We all have our Father in heaven who watches over us with his grace and his peace. This also reminds each of us men that fatherhood is not something trivial. It is a reflection of God himself. Thus, it is no small thing to be a father. It is a high calling, a great blessing. And because of this, we should strive all the days of our lives to be the best fathers we can be for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now know our Father in heaven, and for the benefit of our biological and spiritual children. Indeed, we can reflect these very things onto our children. In this way, they will become themes which are familiar to them. For our young boys, who will become familiar with strength, with wisdom, knowledge, grace, peace, and love, and grow into men who follow this good and godly path. For our young girls, who not only learn to walk in the same way as they become women, but then they will seek out such men in their lives for marriage, because it will be familiar and comfortable for them. In a world in which so many men and women are abused and heartbroken, I can think of no better medicine than familiarizing our children with these things, reflecting godliness onto them. That said, fatherhood is no easy thing. It comes with its fair share of heartaches. It comes with sorrow, watching our children grow up, knowing that each one will experience their own sorrows, recognizing that there will be times when our children must face things on their own. Our hearts break for them, knowing that each will experience life and knowing how much hurt there can be in this life. If that is the case, If our children must face a dark world, then let us continue to shine the light of Christ on them, that they may find their way homes in the darkness, giving them strength for the future, letting mercy lead, and letting grace be in every one of their steps. My hope is that we would remember our fathers fondly, not just our biological fathers, but also those who are our spiritual fathers. All those men who have watched over us over the course of our lives, and that we would give thanks to God for them. No Christian is without cause of praise for fatherhood. For even if we have had imperfect fathers, or even if we have not been perfect fathers, or even if we have had no biological sons or daughters, we know our great Father in heaven who watches over us in love. So today, celebrate fathers. Pray for them, that they would receive wisdom and grace to continue to lead their families further into the gospel of Christ. Encourage them each day to remain faithful to the calling of what God has called them to be as fathers, honoring them in their calling. To all of our fathers, both spiritual and biological, those who have affected me personally so greatly, every single man in this congregation, I give thanks to each of you on behalf of all of those whom you have touched. May God be with you today and all the days of your lives, and may each of you bear the good fruit and faithfulness to God, knowing that it is from our Heavenly Father that all good things flow. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much this day as we remember fatherhood, and Lord, as the world continues to batter it, fathers, as it continues to say that they're not needed or they're not wanted, let us remember, Lord, that they are necessary. Lord, that you have given us fathers for a purpose, to instruct us, to teach us. And Lord, that no matter what, it's not just a social construct that's been invented by humanity, but it is something that you have given to us, each other. So, Lord, I ask that you would help each father today to be the best father they can be for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask you to give us strength and wisdom to defeat this dark world, that we would be faithful to you above all else, and that this world would know the great depths and the great wonder and the great gift that fatherhood can be, because we are the examples that they need to see. Help us, Lord, be the good examples. Help us, Lord, to show the world the great Father in heaven that we reflect. Help us to glorify you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Please rise as we sing our last hymn.